I'm Jack, your host, and this is the Right in the Feels podcast. Whether you're a guy trying to figure out your feels in this crazy, crazy world, or you're a woman trying to solve the puzzle of why men think the way they do, well, this show is for you. This is the Right in the Feels experience. As usual, I am your host, Jack, and I'm beyond excited to open the door for you, whether it's your first time or you are returning. In fact, you don't even need to ring the doorbell anymore. Just come on in. It's always open for you. My home is your home. Mi casa y su casa. Before you enter, though, do you mind taking off your shoes? All kidding aside, this is episode 6, SACE. Here's a little secret. We are halfway through this first season. Ah, yes, we are going for 12 episodes. A carton of eggs. I know, sad, but it'll only give me time to plan for season 2. The truth is, I probably was overly ambitious with releasing every week because this is not a job or anything. I have a full-time job. I really do pour my heart and soul, which translates to a lot of time for each episode, and it's just become a completely, deeply, all-consuming personal project. In the most unexpected ways, it's enriched my life in an almost therapeutic sense, and to connect to people already has been a true blessing. This podcast has literally become the little engine that could. It's that mom and pop shop on the corner of your local neighborhood. Okay, enough small talk though. I don't want to keep you waiting. If you are wondering what we are talking about today, well, I'm looking at my calendar. And let's see, it's February 9th when this episode is released, and it looks like Valentine's Day is only 5 days away. Are you dreading or drooling for it, by the way? Either way, let's do a topic about love. L-O-V-E. First loves. Aww. But wait, maybe the ending is not sweet, but more sour. Not all first loves are created equal. Some people end up marrying their high school or college sweethearts. Aww. Others have their first loves completely flame out and it rearranges their hearts for a while. Boo. Breakups can be heart-wrenching, of course, especially for that first love. It's like twisting your ankle for the first time. You aren't used to any of the pain. Your ligaments and joints have not built up any tolerance and strength. The pain is sharp and unrelenting. You want it to be over as soon as possible, but it's going to take time and treatment. Fortunately, the body, mind, spirit, and heart are amazing because it has this incredible ability to heal and even strengthen if you gain the proper perspective. Like in this analogy, by properly rehabbing your ankle and building a healthy growth mindset. Emotional growth, theme of episode 1, Man Feels 101. With all that said, I hope for this episode I can offer some insight on how I, as well as many men, look at their first relationships and the lessons to be learned from them, for better or worse, however they might end. Maybe you are struggling to get over that first ex. You feel blocked and stuck in a swamp of nostalgia. Your heart can't seem to let go. I also want to offer words of encouragement for couples in their first relationship or just anybody who is struggling with their feelings and growing pains in love. Maybe not knowing if this is the right relationship or feeling lost within it. It's difficult. Things are moving a mile a minute sometimes. Then other times you feel like you're stuck in quicksand. Emotions and feelings are on high alert. It's just all new. Things always feel like it's at a cross section between mind and heart. But we can get through it because I've been there. And of course, for those who have not fallen in love yet, there is always things to prepare for because that storm is coming. It's brewing. A good storm, if there is any such a thing. Please don't feel alone. Let me make this clear. Being single is not being alone. Love is always around you. Intimate and emotional connectivity is the source of not being alone. It's not about having a significant other. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. I'll start with sharing my first relationship journey. And it was a long, winding road with many detours and traffic accidents, just straight up car crashes. And of course, some great scenic drive moments with that patched up car. My first relationship spanned 7 years of my life from 18 to 26. If you're asking yourself, that's 8 years, Jack. Do your math. Jeez. Well, that accounts for some of those car crashes, which equals into like an intermission breakup. That car had to be taken to a collision center for some major fix-ups. It was just out of operation for a bit. I'm already giving spoilers though, that there were a lot of challenges, quite a few. The beginning was unexpected. In high school, with my low self-esteem, inexperience, to put it plainly, just no game whatsoever. Still no game whatsoever, by the way. You can ask Christine, my fiance. But maybe the no game at the end of the day was my game. Ooh. Anyway, I pretty much resigned myself to what's the point of finding and pursuing a girlfriend. It's just not gonna happen. Maybe, hopefully in college, if I'm lucky. I was always a chubby kid in middle school. And oh, I need to mention this. In high school, my family and I went back to Taiwan to visit our extended family. My aunt, the savagely brutal, honest person she is, the first thing she says to me after not seeing me for years, if you continue to look like that, you're never going to get a girlfriend. Well, auntie, I missed you too after all these years. Nobody asked, but so thanks, but no thanks. Asian relatives with their unsolicited opinions on your life and physical appearance. Am I right? Well, what didn't make things better was in high school, I broke a bone in my foot and my weight ballooned up even more. I'm gonna post a photo on my IG story for Right in the Fields podcast and it will blow your mind. I had friends literally call me Fat Jack at the time as a joke. My guy friends were just like my auntie. Thanks, but no thanks, guys. When the bone healed in my foot, there was literally a day I looked in the mirror and it hit me like a ton of bricks. As if that was the first time I looked at myself in the mirror since gaining all that weight. And I realized I needed to make a change. So fast forward to a rocky training montage of myself running and working out, even in the pouring rain. And a couple months later, I lost 60 pounds in the summer of my junior year of high school. My senior, I showed up and there were friends that had not seen me. And they looked at me as if they saw a ghost. That's right. Boo, bitches. This is all to say, and part of the story, because I did end up starting a relationship by the end of senior year. And I don't want to give my aunt any credit for it. She is going to her grave thinking her advice is the reason why I have success in my relationship life. Well, you know what? No, auntie. Weight is not the determining factor. You weren't my motivation. Back to the task at hand, though. My first girlfriend was somebody I was friends with in high school. We had a class together, and when prom came, both our original dates actually coincidentally fell through. And we went to prom as just friends, of course. It just weirdly worked out, and instead of going with somebody random, there was a familiarity. Prom was great. We got along and started to hang out a lot after and towards the end of senior year, especially with her group of friends. Unknowingly, I started developing feelings and a connection. Come grad night, I think in some ways we were on the same page, but to be quite fair, I didn't really understand the concept or fathom the idea of quote-unquote making a move. My game of no game, you know? Let's not forget, I really was resigned to the fact I just wouldn't have a girlfriend, to maybe college at best. We spent the summer hanging out right before leaving for college, and she was going to a school up in NorCal, and I was planning on going to community college. That's a story in itself for another time, but just one of the reasons was to help my family save money. Before she left for college, it felt like the end for some reason because I hadn't made a move of any sort and we were just hanging out with the undertone or maybe overtone of romance. She probably was giving me many signals, but the dummy I was, I either didn't see them or I was too scared or noob to do anything about it because I didn't want to quote unquote ruin our friendship, essentially friend zoning myself, which is a total cop out, but you gotta live and learn. So she left for college thinking this would be the end. Of course, it wasn't the end, and we continued to chat on the phone for long hours. In a funny story, the way we ended up making official was she called me one night and said, "We need to talk." Jack, my ex-boyfriend, contacted me and asked me if I'm dating somebody. He wants to know. Back to the noob I was. All I thought was, damn, just like that, I guess it's over. If she had a stick and was next to me, she probably would have bopped me over the head with it and instead just said, "I'm asking you, do you consider me your girlfriend?" And I said, "Yes?" Question mark. And that, my friends, is how my first relationship was made official. Smooth, right? Take notes, fellas, and after, crumple up that piece of paper and throw it in the trash. I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. Low self-esteem, confidence, and experience can get you that way. The beginning was great, like many new and first relationships. The honeymoon phase was sparkly, and there's a point where you just think, wow, I can't even imagine we could argue about anything. Oh, how naive, foolish, silly boy I was. Literally everything is brand spanking new. The feels, the emotions, it comes to you fast like a speeding bullet train. You're reacting and unpacking and thinking later. Interesting enough, behind the scenes, my family life was completely falling apart. But in a way, this relationship became a distraction and an alternate reality and a thing I could put myself into to kind of escape, which only forecasted things to come. So the start was great. But one thing, if you ever want to make things harder, like a lot harder in a relationship, any relationship, is throw distance in it, you know, just throw it in there. Long distance, mixing into that cocktail, two young kids experiencing college life, watch out, that tsunami is on the horizon. On one hand, I felt I was stuck, feeling ashamed to being in community college. And I want to make this statement for anybody who is or has been there. Never be ashamed to be in community college. I've met some of the most genuine people and now successful people from there. And also, my personal life, especially with my dad, was completely falling in shambles at the time. And for my first girlfriend, she was on a whole different mindset. I got jealous in some ways because I felt I was being left behind a little. I was still able to make time in some crazy ways by driving up 400 miles, 800 miles back and forth to visit her just for a weekend, maybe once every month. Slowly, I got to know her dorm mates and befriended many of them. It was cool. Definitely gave me a view of the difference between commuter school and university. The plan was for me to transfer and join her in 2 years, which did happen. But this is where the accidents on this road trip of a relationship started to happen. One note, this might show how old I am, but when I was in college in the early 2000s, I would need to buy calling cards just to call her because we had limited minutes on the cell phone. And if you went over the bill, it would be astronomical. Lord, I had so many of those little cards. But yeah, there was this routine that would call her every night to chat. But then something weird started to happen. The calls started to getting a little rushed, or they would be shorter. Cue ominous movie music in the background. Morgan Freeman voiceover. Why do you ask? Well, on one of my trips to visit her about 7 or 8 months into our relationship, I actually got pulled aside by a group of guys from the dorm that I had gotten close with, and they needed to tell me something. That conversation went as follows. Hey Jack, bro, we like you, man. We don't want to fuck with your relationship, but got a guy? I thought you should know. After your girl talks to you at night, she hops on another call with somebody else for a while, bro. I didn't even know how to digest that information. I actually had so much else going on in my life at that juncture. I was grinding to make sure I get out of community college, my family life in shambles, already with a major trust broken in me from my own dad. I left that weekend and drove home confused as ever. I did have a conversation with her about it not long after, and she just told me it was a guy friend she re-met online from back in high school, and it was strictly platonic. A guy friend she needed to talk to every night after a conversation with her boyfriend. Sus much? I didn't buy it, but I was so young and avoiding confrontation, I just went with it and took her at her word. Instead of setting my own boundaries and speaking my true feelings, which I honestly I had no idea how to communicate or establish in any way, man feels 101, I had not developed any true emotional growth up to that point. Sure, I went with it, but of course I was very unhappy. The seed was planted, the trust was already broken in me, I just didn't fully realize it then, with all the chaos going in my life especially. This just seemed like a fire that wasn't burning as badly, and I would try to put it out later, procrastinate putting it out, but you can't leave fire unattended because it'll spread like wildfire. Next thing you know, you're standing in a burning field. As the months went by, the paranoia and unhappiness with the situation only got worse. I started developing an unhealthy mindset. I was jealous that she had a connection with somebody else and doubted that it was platonic. The distance, as I mentioned earlier, only exacerbated the issues. If a relationship starts to develop wounds, long distance is the poison that will completely make those wounds into full-blown infections. Communication was not my strong suit, so I started to exhibit anger and behavior in the relationship I am not proud of. I definitely was passive-aggressive. I wanted to make her jealous, so I started trying to talk to other girls or go to parties more. The infection in the relationship grew to the point that she ended up breaking up with me, 10 or so months in. Oh man, was it painful. I just remember driving around listening to as many R&B songs of breakups as possible. I blamed myself for a lot of things. Blamed her for things too, but mostly myself. I always believed that a man should never give up on a relationship. Just have this indeterminable will to make things work, especially in the face of obstacles. You just punch and run through the walls. To put things into perspective, if you listen to my episode 2, My Dad is an Asshole, my father cheated on my mom around this time, and it only perpetuated the failure in my relationship. The fear I had in becoming my dad only grew by seeing my own personal relationship falling apart. I thought I had let the relationship down, just like my dad. With that said, the heartbreak completely swirling in my mind and not knowing how to recover from it, I made the ultimate mistake, which was to continue talking to my ex. Of course, I didn't want things to end, so it served a purpose outside of the emotional crutch when in emotional pain. And one thing I highly recommend for those that need to get over a relationship, don't talk to your ex. It'll be the most tempting thing. It'll take all your emotional strength and logical decision making that puts aside your wounded heart. Because for so many people, it's like losing a best friend, somebody who was part of your everyday life, somebody you leaned on. So when it's gone, you feel completely empty. But there is a reason things are over. If it's not on your end even, there are always reasons, and to accept the reasons that will be beyond your understanding sometimes is the key to the process. If you fear time away from somebody will only cement the decision, then the relationship was never strong enough to survive in the first place. It's hard, but trust me, I've had to learn the lesson the hard way, and by the end of this episode, I promise to wrap it all up. As I continue my story, we still talked, and I was tormented because surprise, surprise, a couple months after our breakup, she ended up dating that dude that she was talking to every night. Platonic. I promise, Jack, I remember. Yeah, right. Blah, blah, blah. Excuse my language, but get the fuck out of here. What's so beyond toxic was that I end up being the other guy that she talked to on the other side. A sick role reversal. But I didn't care because I thought, screw this guy. He knew she had a boyfriend the first time with me. I put the blame on him, and I felt he beat me out. In some twisted way, I wanted to win her back just to show this guy. Looking back at my logic, it made no sense at all, but all the sense at the same time. Misplaced and channeled ego and pride. But it's mind-boggling to say the least, even in retrospect. Mature Jack is shaking his head at past Jack right now. But this quote-unquote mistake was so much needed when reflecting now. Not to get into too many details of the story, they started having issues, of course, since I was still talking to her, and they broke up. Probably because of other things also. So my mentality was, I won! This game of pride and ego, I won! I got this dude back, but what did I really win? What did I really win? I definitely didn't win any integrity contest. Guess what? We didn't get right back together, but when I finally transferred into the same school, it only ramped up us hanging out again, not long after we slowly transitioned back to being together. So now I won this fake contest. But I assure you, it's understanding what you are winning in life. I didn't look at my mistakes to truly learn the deep lessons. I looked at it in a superficial way. Once I get her back, I told myself, it'll just be stronger and I'll establish myself. No more talking to some other dude for her. Oh man, we argued so much. Two people trying to fight for their own boundaries and working through underlying trust issues and growing into adulthood. And for those who have been in relationships that argue about the most mundane and smallest things, like why did you put this cup on the table? Rage out over it. That was it. I get you. I've been there. It's maddening, frustrating, and you think the solution should be easy, and it never is easy. But it's only because there's so many underlying issues that can't be or have not been communicated through, and they keep compounding as the relationship moves forward because none of the communication was truly worked on. The frustration spills over and the triggers come fast and furious. Funny enough, because of my newfound indomitable will, we just kept chugging along, and to be fair, there were some great moments. We still had a connection, and once we graduated college, both of us started working, and things started falling into a pattern as a couple, a default mode. We still argued, but a little less. Time does a trick on you if you aren't conscious, purposeful, and intentional about things. It just keeps moving along. One you start to blend into another. Sometimes you aren't necessarily unhappy, but you also are not happy or fulfilled, whether that be in a job or in a relationship, and the years just pile up quickly. There is no marker or something substantial that shakes you out of being in the default state. It starts being the sunken place where you are floating in this abyss, the senses muted. I don't want to completely paint it that as that because there was obviously care, love, and connection there. We were just building, but not on a good foundation. But the problem was, even though the logic is that we are together and building, it wasn't building the same structure. She's working on one side of the house, I'm working on another, and we don't have the same blueprint. So the years passed, and when you are together, coming close to 6 years, the question starts to rise. Hey, are you guys thinking about marriage? You guys are practically together since high school. Is this going to become like a high school sweetheart love story? The idea of coasting becomes harder when the questions coming from friends start to change a bit. Relations come down to timing many times. And timing is really about mindset. Being the same mindset at the same time. Well, the timing was always jumbled because as we settled into that comfort, she got into grad school on the East Coast. And I fully supported her going because she was deciding between staying local or going to the other coast. I actually pushed her to leave. In a way, I looked at it as a final test. If we could survive this long distance, maybe it was a sign. So the long distance began again. And much like how my relationship started, it's coming full circle, with distance being back in the picture. Old habits were apparently hard to break for her. My life became routine in a job, and her life began shifting, being a new place, school, meeting new people, being stimulated differently. Rather rapidly, a shift began to form. The calls got shorter and less frequent. But this time, I was way more equipped to see the signs. It made it equally frustrating and painful, but this time I could see it coming. The trust was broken in me already, and the cracks were more obvious. I didn't have faith in her, but you always have hope. Somebody can prove you wrong and that level went out. This time, it did not, for good reason. Until this day, I have no idea what the hell went on for her end. Maybe she cheated on me, emotionally or physically. Who knows, but it really doesn't matter. I remember distinctly flying out to the East Coast as a way to confirm, just to really see in her face, look at her in her eyes. When I got there, it confirmed everything. The relationship was over. I had lost my heart for it also. The fight in me was gone, and I have a lot of fight. I realized at the end of the day, I didn't win anything. I kept my eyes closed. I chose the sunken place. I chose to look at the relationship through my blurred vision, my immaturity. I wasn't even angry anymore, though. It was a lesson I needed to learn. What happened before repeated itself, almost in the same way. Just now, we are older and not having the same excuse of being naive or ignorant. Our choices, my choice to be here is also on me. And I said this time when we broke up, it was decided it was best not to maintain contact. Trust me, it makes a difference. The whole saying, let it go and if it's true, we'll come back, has some merit because you need to really let it go to know. With time away and focusing on repairing and growing my own outside the relationship, because it does consume your mind and perspective and lens, was really vital. It's very hard to grow on your own, especially at a young age when you need to continually take into account another person. And the decisions you make aren't your own sole ownership. Give yourself that chance to grow on your own. It'll become rewarding because you can truly reflect on things that worked for you and that didn't. When boundaries did need to be drawn, what personality traits are important? What values did you compromise that are now non-negotiable? What values and character traits for yourself do you need to work on? Because in your relationship, you sure did not exhibit them well. I don't harbor any ill will and look at that relationship as a failure. When I reflect on what she needed in her life, it was to grow on her own. My indomitable will to make things work kept us together. But I was coming from a place of pain and battling my demons, of not letting a relationship fail. Because it became a reflection of my parents' bad marriage and the trust my dad broke with my family. We were never able to communicate these things because they were painful. So the ridiculous arguments about the cup or the other ridiculous things only masked at the core what we couldn't fully understand for each other. Over time, the relationship became a bit of a trap. You care about this person, but the reality is the next step of growth you need is outside of it. But as long as you're trying to show care and forcing the growth within these walls, trying to look over it, the wall just keeps getting higher. So we are coming to a close. The story of my first love is over. The chapter closed long ago and it feels like a complete and other lifetime ago, but I learned many valuable lessons about myself and the growth I needed to make on my own. Next was the kind of partner I was hoping to find in the future. Just learning what I don't like and what didn't work. Many times in life, like a job or a relationship, it isn't necessary to get it right away. Because it can simply be a process of elimination. The only way to eliminate things is to gain experience, knowing what you don't like and what you do like, what works and doesn't work. And that experience will test your limits emotionally and might even end up in heartbreak. Too often we become so averse to heartbreak or pain, but sometimes those deaths are what it will take to bring out the deep-rooted issues and feelings and self-truths. There are always things in theory or theoretical that until you test those theories, you truly have no idea what actual life experience will show you about yourself. One rule I really try to live by and learn from in my relationship was to take accountability for my own actions and choices. Nobody is forcing me to be in an unhappy relationship. I'm choosing it. I'm culpable. If somebody violates my trust, that's a sign or an instance of that person showing me their character. I can choose to trust again, but if it keeps getting violated, I can blame that other person all I want, but I have a choice in that matter to establish my boundaries and values of what I'm unwilling to accept, and based on that, make a decision. If I violated my partner's trust, it's my accountability to dig deep in understanding and growing from it myself, regardless of whether I'm with that person or not, because my actions and choices have consequences. And to hurt somebody else again is my accountability to take. It becomes too easy just to end things and blame the other person as a reason you reacted or are in certain ways and repeat the same mistakes in future relationships. The self-accountability is really rooted in being honest with yourself, being able to face the person in the mirror in its purest form. I can say for sure I was petty, immature, passive-aggressive, made up tons of white lies in that relationship, and owning it only empowers me to fix those issues so I can have a healthy relationship for the next, and more importantly, for myself. Growth in the first love can absolutely happen. High school sweetheart stories can work. It didn't work for me, but I believe you can learn to grow personally and also together in a relationship. But being mindful of that is what it will take, and it's incredibly difficult to do that when you are young from personal experience. So if you're stuck in a relationship where you don't want to give up on it, but want to badly grow, it takes communication and a partner that is willing to share that vision also. Laying bricks to a foundation takes two bricklayers working in unison. Trials and tribulations can bring people together and make them even stronger, but it takes developing the same vision of self-improvement and joint improvement, allowing space for both. Many times, we become stuck in the narrative we want to play out, like a fairy tale love story. We become attached to that fantasy. And this is especially in love. First love's the most. We take whatever we feel love should be into this new experience. This is where the heart versus mind sometimes begins to form. Your heart might be attached to this fantasy, but your mind, the part of you that is trying to ground you, is telling you otherwise. Finding the balance and becoming self-aligned is the part of the journey. Because the truth is sometimes we tell ourselves we can't have it all, but we can. Nothing is perfect, but having it all is about humility, honesty, communication, and love on both sides. You can have those things. When I found those things in myself, life and love opened up to another dimension, multidimensional. Before, I operated on a plane, and on that plane was seen through the lens of insecurity, trauma, and self-protection, and I racked it around those things. When I invested in myself and focused on the lessons I need to learn in the 2D, that 2D became 3D. 3D in the sense I could start to be more vulnerable and honest. Being single was so important in my life, and my relationship with Christine has truly showed me that love can be elevated because it was earthly before, but now we are blasting into space. I learned a lot of things in my first love. For that, I'm grateful. It was not a failure, just part of my story that I can share with you all. I would like to leave this quote with you, and it's from a person I deeply admire. Bruce Lee once said, "Self-knowledge involves relationship. To know oneself is to study oneself in action with another person. Relationship is a process of self-evaluation and self-revelation. Relationship is the mirror in which you discover yourself. To be is to be related." Thank you so much for tuning in another week here at Right in the Feels. I actually have a super special Valentine's Day episode to be released on Valentine's Day, so stay tuned for that. I'm so excited for it. So if you wish to follow for more feels, please find me on IG at Right in the Feels Podcast. I'd be so much grateful if you follow this podcast, leave a review and rating on iTunes or Apple Pod. Much love. I hope this episode finds you well. Talk to you all next week.